it's lights out and away we go.
Welcome everyone to Alfa Rosso episode one.
I'm Dan, this is my good friend Alex.
I'm Alex, hello.
And welcome. This is our podcast. We're getting into F1.
Getting into it. Yeah. Getting amongst it this year.
Yeah. And we thought what better way to get into something than to do a podcast about it.
Yep, exactly. Honestly, neither of us really know enough about F1 to be experts, even in the most remote way possible, but...
No, that's completely correct. I think you're even overstating our knowledge by that. Like, we cannot understand how little we do know about F1. So this is very much a learning journey that we're going down. So because I've been watching Netflix's Drive to Survive, season one, season two.
Yes.
Alex, you are a little bit more ahead in me in the sense that you've been catching up on things that have happened over the last year or two in actual F1, whereas I'm holding out for season three.
Yep, that's fair.
And so basically Alex will often just ask for things, start talking about things and go, oh, hey, but this, and I have to go, sorry, no spoilers.
It's a thing. You don't want to spoil season three.
I don't want to spoil season three. And absolutely. We're only a month away from season three now.
Yep. Anyway. March 19th. Teaser just dropped last night, so.
Yeah. We're doing promo for Netflix. But it's good. Like, I think it's a good show to get into F1 in. Like, it's very accessible in that sense.
Yeah, I think a lot of people over the last few years have, you know, it's been a really good onboarding promo for the sport. And I think after, you know, talking about it enough with you last year, I think you've been ready to jump in with me this year. And I guess this whole podcast, the whole point is that, you know, we want to really experience the 2021 season together and I guess learn as much as we can. So.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And that's the thing, like, you know, despite us not knowing much about the sport, it's not coming into it to sort of, you know, take the piss out of it. But we're just very honest in that we don't know a lot of things. We don't know a lot of technical things about engines or how cars are built.
Absolutely.
Or anything like that. But we're trying to sort of start picking up as much as we can.
Why is it called a power unit? Why isn't it just called an engine? I don't know. Do you know?
No, I don't know. If that was a quiz, like, what's the difference between an engine and a power unit, I'd have absolutely no idea.
Let's find out together.
Yeah. Well, these are the things that we're going to start sort of digging into. So I guess, you know, over the coming weeks, we will, as we start getting closer to some of the races that are happening this year and also as we do watch season three in about a month or so, we will, you know, be speaking about more current events on the F1 scene once we get into that.
Yep.
But we figured, you know, just to kick things off, we're just going to sort of go into like how we ended up getting involved in sort of following F1.
Yep.
How we sort of ended up where we are. Right now.
Do you want me to start? I'm curious. Okay, well, I started enjoying F1, I guess, when I was about 3 or 4 years old when the Grand Prix was in Adelaide and I had the opportunity to kind of go see it with my dad. Yeah, when I was a lot younger. And then I absolutely fell off that after about 5 years old and then haven't really picked it up until a video game podcast I listened to in about 2015. Had members on the show who they spun off and did their own F1 podcast, and it was a gateway into the sport. And you know, it was always this auxiliary thing that you'd been around, you know, like the Adelaide Grand Prix was, you know, a big part of you know, until 1996, until it moved to Albert Park. And yeah, I don't know. It just always seemed like this kind of like really out there sport where, you know, people weren't really supporting teams. It was more they were getting behind their, you know, favorite drivers, and every year drivers would move to different teams. And I always found that very fascinating.
So just to clarify here, this is not like, were you aware of all this when you were like 5 years old?
No, I mean, but you'd heard the bigger names when you were younger, like Senna and Schumacher, but you know, that's just from listening to my old man talk about it. And I wouldn't even say he was the biggest F1 fan either, but because you're in the same city as the Grand Prix, you tend to be around it. And now that, you know, we both live in Melbourne. We're also part of the Australian Grand Prix in its current state. So
do you feel like was Adelaide a bitter about losing the GP to Melbourne?
It definitely comes up, I think, a lot. I don't know the exact story behind how it moved. The idea that the Grand Prix could go back to Adelaide, though, I just think the roads have changed so much that I don't think the FIA would rate it at the standard it would need to be to even continue, you know, in its current state. I think Albert Park is probably where it should be right now. But it's a shame that it's not in Adelaide, because I love South Australia and it's my hometown. So
definitely. I also do love that we preface this with saying we're not going to get technical on any of this. And now we're debating whether or not the roads in Adelaide have the quality required by the FIA to move the race back.
No, but that's I mean, that's
great.
It's the reality of it. Someone can correct me if that's incorrect, but that's what I understand.
No, it's good. It's an example of those little nuggets of knowledge that are packed away.
Yeah.
In there.
You never know what's upstairs. Until you vocalize it. So look, for me, F1 been this weird sport that I just kind of, you know, would hear about growing up, but yeah, got into it in a big way once I had other podcasts that I listened to that they, you know, spun off and did their own onboard to F1, and I just found it very interesting. And then ever since then, it's just been a lot of fun to kind of get up and watch the Grand Prix, you know, late at night. We're in one of the most awful time zones to watch Grand Prix in Australia, but it is good fun.
To be fair, though, I was surprised, because the first time I've really looked at Grand Prix time schedules was the other day when you sent me through a link to the calendar to show the current ones.
Mm.
I thought, because I traditionally have been a very big soccer fan and have watched a lot of Premier League games middle of the night. Like you know, kickoffs at 12 midnight is an early kickoff. So you have like 2 a.m. kickoffs, 3 a.m., sometimes even 4 a.m. So I was kind of just expecting like, oh no, this is another thing I'm committing to, which is going to have me up until like 4, 5 a.m. without, you know, on a regular sort of basis. And then when I saw the time schedules, I was surprised that it seems like every race apart from 5 are on at 11 p.m. for us.
I think that's because those race schedules haven't exactly nailed down the time that they're starting.
Okay, well then scratch that. I was getting very excited because I was like, this seems, and I was suspicious because I was like, I'm surely there's more than one time zone for everything in Europe, and also like places like Azerbaijan and stuff. I'm like, there's got to be a different thing here. But I thought maybe, I don't know, they just like kicking off at the same time and going. But now you've ruined my dream of
I'm sorry to ruin your dream of perpetual 11 p.m. starts for Grand Prix.
It was naive. It was naive of me to think that.
Look, it might be the case. I don't know. I think those timetables tend to change sometimes. A lot of the calendar inserts still currently just say to be announced at the starting time. So
yeah, fair enough. Also, one of them, I think it could have even been the Azerbaijan one. It was scheduled in. It's taken up 2 weeks of my calendar now.
Okay.
So I don't know what's going on there.
I don't know either.
That should have been a hint of like, maybe this is a provisional calendar.
Yeah.
We don't know exactly what's going on yet.
Yeah.
But I think because there were a few races which are like, there were, I think the Japan one is 4 p.m.
Yeah.
For us.
Yep.
Which is great. So there were a few different races which are like, oh, okay, there's different times.
Yep.
For that. So I got a bit excited. But no, look, that's fine. We're in for the long haul. We're in for staying up a night and
it's worth it. It's worth getting up for. I mean, if not, if anyone does miss a Grand Prix, there's always a really awesome highlights package that gets put out the next day. Like the F1 YouTube channel is actually one of the most awesome content producers I've seen out of any sport ever. They really do a great job of putting together the best highlights of those races. So often last year, if I did miss a race, you know, I had to get up early for work the next morning. It would be great to just pop on the highlights when I get to work and just kind of catch up in that way. But yes, this year I'm hoping we can kind of knock out all 20 plus Grand Prix.
There is no hope here, Alex. We're committed.
Yeah.
Like we said, it's all about trying to learn, trying to get more involved with the sport and do that. Because my involvement is, I didn't have as early a start with F1. My dad was never into it. My he was big into soccer as well, so that's what we. I grew up watching a lot of soccer for that reason. The first real memory I have of F1 was actually when I went to China in 2001, and this was on a study tour. So I was studying Mandarin at school, and we went over there for 3 weeks, and we were staying at school in Beijing. And this story actually isn't very F1 heavy, but we're into it, so I've got to finish it.
No, I want to hear the whole story.
Like, yeah, it's so. Okay, anyway, so we're staying at a school in Beijing and we had to do this homestay where you'd go home with one of the students' families and stay with them for a night. And this would just be like, they could live anywhere within sort of Beijing. So my host family, they got me, they took me back to their place. And then they kind of didn't know what to do with me. So they basically just sat me down on a couch in a side room, turned on the TV, and then they just went to find the only English channel that was on. And that was showing F1.
Cool.
I was kind of like, well, I'm here to learn like Mandarin. Like I'd prefer to, I just watch like a Chinese soap opera. Like I don't care. Like, but they were just like, oh, English channel. I'm like, okay, cool. And then they just left me for like 2 hours. So I remember just watching this race and I thought like, this was before you had like, the phones we had then were like Nokia 8210s or something. So like you weren't on the internet. You weren't anything like that. You couldn't really do anything.
Yeah.
So I just remember sitting there and just watching this race and honestly at the time being very bored and thinking, you know what? I don't like this. True. I'm not enjoying this at all. But then after that 2 hours, then, we had dinner.
Cool. What did you have for dinner?
I can't remember. It was, I didn't quite know because my vocabulary at the time was not that expansive that I could understand everything.
Sure.
And whenever I spoke to the family, they seemed to find it very funny that I was trying to speak Mandarin.
Okay.
So there was like an old grandma there. And whenever I opened my mouth, she would just start pissing herself. So after about three sentences, I was like, you know what, stuff this. I'm just not going to talk anymore. Because I'd start trying out some Mandarin and then I'd have, the grandma just laughing at me.
Yep. So you're telling me your first exposure to F1 is you're all by yourself in another country. You watched this race, you found it boring, and you got bullied by someone.
I got bullied by probably 85-year-old woman.
that sounds like the normal way into the sport.
I think so. I think most people have gone.
That's most people's stories into the sport.
Totally. Yeah. So I got into it on a path less traveled, I think.
Mm-hmm.
My second experience couldn't be further from the first experience. Because the second experience was at the Melbourne GP it would have been about 2005, 2006. About then.
Sure.
And a friend of mine, I went with him and another friend, and we had like VIP tickets. So we got to go into, I don't know what all the areas are called, but we were like, effectively the backstage area of the GP, like the paddock.
Yeah, you're in the paddock. You're in the pit.
Yeah. Yep. So we're walking around there, like we walk past Schumacher, like brush shoulders with him.
I'm amazing.
Like, oh, okay, cool. At this point, I still am not into the sport.
Yeah.
But I'm like, you know, this is kind of cool. We went into like the Ferrari pit.
Fuck.
And amazing. There was like Ron Walker was there, like telling us about the car and everything and all that sort of stuff. And I thought like, oh, this is pretty cool. But I still wasn't really taking it in massively because it was just, it hadn't been something that I'd been following. But it was fun. It was a fun sort of experience. I guess doing it VIP style, it's always going to be fun. Then we went upstairs and had some lovely lunch. We sat at Nicolas Cage's table.
Beautiful.
Before he arrived, and then we got told off for doing so.
Oh, really?
That's the highlight of the day, I think, that I remember. And then that was kind of it. And that was sort of like the first actual experience there. But we didn't even see any of the race. Because I think we were just like behind, just walking around all these other things. So I can't even remember watching anything that happened there.
Okay, sure.
That was experience number two.
Yep.
So that's 15, 16 years ago.
Yep.
And then experience number three comes last year with Drive to Survive.
Beautiful.
I feel it's like, you know, when they talk in marketing, they say like, you know, it takes a certain amount of exposures for people to like make a purchase and get on board. And they say, you know, people need to be exposed like 5, 6, 7 times before they actually then get converted into a customer.
Yep.
That's kind of like me over a very long period.
So really you've had since 2001 to now 2021, you've had a 20-year exposure to, you've had a journey with F1. without even realizing you've been having it.
But it's really, yeah, correct. But it's also three incidents over 20 years. So it's been a slow burn.
Yep.
But as soon as I started watching Drive to Survive, a few episodes in, I was like, all right, I'm really enjoying this. I'm really kind of...
What did you enjoy about it? Like, what was...
Well, I liked that it wasn't too technical about the cars and everything like that, because I've never been into cars.
Mm-hmm.
So if it was about, you know, going into like what pistons are used to do whatever, or what the drive shaft did. See, these are, I don't even know car terms that well. But if it started going onto that level, or like going into like the aerodynamics of the tires or something like that, I probably wouldn't have been that interested.
Then you're out. You're out.
It's just a lot to take in straight away.
Yep.
But I think like, obviously what they've done with the show is tried to make it very accessible, and it focused around the sort of the drama and the making it effectively a soap opera about it.
Well, absolutely. I'm absolutely lifting this from another podcast I've listened to, but F1 really is a reality TV show where you're following the different personalities of the drivers and the personalities of the teams and how the histories of the teams all wrap into that. And it just turns into this giant spectacle, and it's, and there's so much money thrown around in the sport as well that you can't look away. And I don't know, that comes back to my point where it almost feels like you don't have a team. You're watching the whole sport as if it was its own show.
Mm.
Yeah.
Which is great. And I think maybe that's in the past then, it was my sort of just preconceived idea of it was like it was any other sport where you would have your team, you would do that, and it would be, you know, all that other stuff that's, you know, the drama and everything that happens is something just on the side that...
Yeah,
it's not, but not a reason for people to mainly sort of get into it.
Yeah,
which is great.
It's great.
It's been good. It's been good.
Yeah.
And now, you know, after watching a couple of seasons, now I know some things. Like, I know how slow Williams cars are.
Well, currently they're slow. They used to be the top.
As I've learnt.
Yeah.
But now I understand all the memes I see online, which is about the slowest thing in the universe being a Williams car. Now I understand those things
for sure. Yep. How do you think they're going to go this year?
I've got no idea because I haven't seen season three.
I mean, spoiler alert. How do you think they went last year?
Okay, I assume they would have done badly because they were doing so badly in season one and two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely still a down period for Williams for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, George Russell, one of my favorite drivers, currently drives for Williams, is fantastic. So it's not always their drivers either. It's the, right now it seems to be the car.
Totally. And look, and I understand as well now from, I think as well, I didn't realize previously the disparity between the teams in the sport and how much money they were spending. And how I think, you know, you had Mercedes spending like 400, 500 million,
yep,
or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then you had Williams spending 75, 100 or 150, something like whatever it was.
I don't know the exact number, but the disparity is, it was huge. And I'm curious, I don't know, do you know about the rule that they've brought in this year about the...
I don't know, there's now a cap.
There's now a performance cap,
yeah,
which I think excludes the salary of the driver and the top three earners within the team.
Yeah.
You know, like your team principal, I assume. I'm curious to see if this year putting a performance cap on the teams actually evens up the playing field, or if we just end up with the same, you know, the same Mercedes Silver Arrows at the front every year as it has been for the last 6-7 years now.
Yeah, like I guess I guess as a fan starting to get into it, it's an exciting time to think that it might be a good leveler, and it might be like, okay, cool. Now it's kind of like a bit of a reset on something that seems like it was getting a bit out of control.
Definitely a reset this year. Yep.
So, like, I'm hoping that it actually does level it out a bit. And so then you can get days where you have, you know, a driver who's on, in the past, what would have been a much weaker team. You can get days where they are actually just having a really good race and they can just win it without having, like, you know, a whole bunch of other cars to need to retire.
Yeah.
Because that's what I was kind of getting as well from watching the show, that, you know, on certain races, when if it wasn't like a Ferrari or a Mercedes that was winning, it basically is like the Ferraris or the Mercedes would have to retire from the race. And then finally it's like, oh, okay, someone else can kind of come through now.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe a Renault can get in, or maybe a, you know, and it just seemed like that had to happen in order for someone else to get through, which, I don't know. There's kind of, I guess, something interesting about watching that. But at the same time, I think having it a bit more open.
Yeah. Do you feel like it was a bit boring with the current, I guess, outfit?
I don't think it was so boring because I guess I've also gotten used to that in following soccer.
Okay.
Football. It feels weird saying soccer, but football.
You can say soccer.
No, but I prefer to say football.
Okay, sure.
But I'm just,
you can say football then.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just trying to... I'm just very aware in Australia you say football and people instantly normally think of like Australian rules.
Yeah, sure. Okay.
But following like football.
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 Yep.
It's I've become used to like seeing over the years like how the disparity just increasing there. And so you have teams at the top that are just challenging and you really know that there's going to be very few instances where a team that's outside that are actually going to challenge to win something.
In that sport, does it also happen because of the amount of money being spent?
Totally.
Totally. It's always money.
Totally. It's always money related.
Yeah.
So that's why I think like, I was like, I can't look down on F1 for doing that.
Yeah.
And like people spending more money because then, you know, it would be hypocritical for me to say that I, you know, soccer, but soccer, it's actually a big problem in soccer. So
yeah. Okay.
Football. It's a big problem
football.
In football. Football. But anyway, I think like, yeah, I'm looking forward to the prospect of having these teams. Yeah, just be a little bit more open.
Yeah.
And like, I don't quite understand all the rules about the, like what they've actually made in terms of what you can do to the car now. And I think like, that's probably something we'll get into like over the next few weeks. We might try and learn a little bit more about that.
Yep.
And so I don't know exactly all those things, but as I understand it, they've tried to make it so that, it restricts some of the I read one thing, which was they were talking about like aerodynamics with tires.
Okay.
And how they've restricted what you can do with those. And there was this big thing that like, if you had millions and millions of extra dollars, you could spend a lot of time like with aerodynamics and tires and things like that.
You could work all that out. Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, that seems the thing that they've like, now you can't do that. You can't change. I'll find out.
Sure.
When we actually get into that stuff, we'll look into it. We'll get some sort of facts as to what that actually looks like and what that means. But it seems like they are really trying to restrict the potential for advantages.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I think it's you wouldn't expect any team to not do everything in their power to essentially construct the fastest car possible, right? And that's totally. When you're pushing everyone to their limit, they're going to hit that financial limit a lot earlier than other teams. So yeah, so I guess even though it has been a great, you know, era of the sport the last 6-7 years, it's just going to be refreshing, hopefully, to see something a bit different this year. I think the biggest improvement we'll see will be with McLaren personally. I think they've really turned it around, and I'm hoping they can really push it up because they've been a very mid-tier team for, you know, quite a while, and you know they might even take fourth, third this year. We'll see, but.
Yeah. Totally, yeah. Yeah. Well, I guess, look, on that point, what I think might be interesting is just to quickly go over, because there have been some team changes over the last couple of years.
Yes, absolutely.
And so as I am a little bit behind in terms of, so season one is the 2018 season.
Yep.
Season two is the 2019 season.
Yep.
I don't really know what's happened after that.
Okay.
So it's like I probably have some hot takes on some stuff that happened then, but then I don't know if those teams are still around or if there are some changes that have been made, or those sort of things. So I think like, I guess from the initial couple of seasons, teams that I started to like, I started to like Haas.
Yep. Like Gunther Steiner.
How could you not like Gunther Steiner?
He's the biggest character, I think, in the sport. You know,
He was just so enjoyable and like entertaining to watch.
Immensely enjoyable to watch. Yep, absolutely.
And it was really nice. Like you see, like he doesn't really seem to have like much of an ego, And I just love watching him just like, because it seemed as well that Haas were having a lot of issues.
Yeah.
So I just loved seeing him pacing around talking about like things being bullshit or like like a shit race and like all that sort of stuff, and really just like getting really worked up about those sort of things.
Definitely. Yeah. I think he definitely, you know, lacks a filter in certain situations, you know, and to me, I like that. I think that's, you know, I like seeing him wear his emotions on his sleeve, and he's not afraid to be emotional in front of a camera. Maybe it's for show, I don't know, but you know, to me it was just very enjoyable to watch his frustration, but also his, I guess, you know, when things were going right for Haas in those rare few moments in the 2019 season, you know, it was nice to see him react positively to those as well.
Totally, yeah. And it was interesting too, because you saw as the sort of show went on, it sort of went into some of the rivalries between the different teams. But it seemed like Haas didn't really have any rivalries. Not that I recall.
Yeah, for sure.
As in, like, almost like no one really gave much of a shit about them.
Yeah, I guess I guess you could say with Williams potentially, but it just seemed like, you know, they're just doing their best to gain any points at all, basically.
So yeah, I mean, like, Williams is so far behind everyone else that it doesn't really seem to matter.
Yeah.
Like, they could pick a rival if they wanted with any other team, but like, it still doesn't matter. They're still finishing behind.
Exactly.
So it was just kind of nice, I think, seeing Haas and seeing them, like, okay, they haven't really established that much or any sort of dominance whatsoever. So there's like, then, you know, they just seemed very pure, I guess. And I don't know if the team owners are or anything like that.
It's an underdog team.
But just watching that, you're like, yeah, it's, you know, it's an underdog team.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And it was good. And I think Grosjean just kept stuffing up.
Yeah.
And
sure.
kept doing that. And I felt bad in a way. I was kind of like, oh, what's this guy? Should he be driving F1? What's going on here? This is ridiculous. He just seems rubbish. But then I still had this thing because it's like an underdog. I'm like, oh no, but I really want them to sort it out.
Yes.
And then they don't sort it out and it still like stuffs up. And I'm like, ah, oh. And it just felt like such a, like I was going on an emotional journey with Haas.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Throughout that.
Yeah.
I love as well when they had the rich energy drink, for season 2.
Yeah.
And there was this big sort of fanfare of that happening and this big event and like that all going on. And then it seemed like a few races later, they were just like, well, we're out.
They're done.
Yeah, we're not doing well. Okay, we're leaving.
I think F1 unfortunately does attract, I guess, what would you say, dubious characters to the sport. And I think, I think Rich just didn't seem to be the most, I don't know, the most cooperative business partner to get into business with. And it seemed like the Haas Rich Energy partnership just evaporated so quickly.
It was like from one episode, it was like, oh yeah, we're in our Haas. Oh, we see, this is going to be great. This is going to be great. And then, you know, a few episodes later, it's like just a tweet. And then they cut to the guy and like, yeah, we're out. That was it. I was like, what happened there?
Yeah.
And it does seem like this sort of situation or this sport where you can be, just have heaps of money, get involved, get out, get it. It doesn't matter. Like, I think I noticed that from Lawrence Stroll.
Yes.
How he came into, was it Racing Point?
Yeah, well, he bought Force India.
He bought Force India and turned them into Racing Point.
Yes.
Right?
Turned them into Force India Racing Point, I think. And then now, last year, they were Racing Point.
They were just Racing Point.
And now, you know, next year, they're Aston Martin.
Yeah.
Well, this year, sorry. They're Aston Martin.
But so, didn't Lawrence Stroll, he came in, didn't he switch teams like halfway through one of the seasons?
Lance Stroll? Or
Lawrence?
Lawrence Stroll.
Oh, wait, did he start with Williams? Did he come in as something to do with Williams?
Lance Stroll came in with Williams, yep.
And Lawrence Stroll came in.
Lawrence Stroll came in.
That's what happened in like season one. He came in with Williams.
With the implicate, I guess, you know, there's a scene in Drive to Survive where Lance Stroll talks about he knows he was born with a silver spoon in his mouth.
Yeah.
Because of who his father is, you know, and owning the team, obviously it's a pretty safe seat for him. I think the thing about Lance is, I think he's definitely proven at some times, you know, to be a pretty damn good driver. So I think even though he has that privilege, I think he's still a great driver to watch.
Oh, totally. I just love that it seemed on the show the focus was more on Lawrence.
Yeah, sure.
And it's just like, all right, like, and the thing I can't get over is just how high his pants are.
He likes high pants.
They are ridiculously high. They're always tucked in and they're always ridiculously high. But that says to me it's someone who just doesn't give a shit.
Do you know how his business made his money?
I've got absolutely no idea.
I'm probably, this is very reductive the way that I'm describing it, but I understand he would take failing fashion businesses and essentially, you know, turn them into profitable businesses. Which, so for you to say how high he wears his pants, for a man in the fashion industry, it's very surprising.
Look, I mean, but who knows? That might actually be good, though.
That might be good. Maybe
I'm not saying I'm fashionable.
Maybe he's 2021 and we're, you know, 2009 fashion.
Totally. Like, I just found it a bit ridiculous, I guess, that it seems like everyone else hanging around the pits and stuff, like, even if they were part of the teams, like, they'd have their, like, suit pants on and then their, like, team polos.
Yeah.
And they wouldn't be tucked in. They'd be, like, hanging out and stuff. And then you just have this guy in, like, jeans, you know, like, some sort of, like, I'm sure extremely expensive shirt and just tucked in. And, like, his, like, belt is almost up to his nipples. So,
up as high as it goes.
As high as it goes. So, that's just, like, it probably says a lot more about me that I got distracted by that rather than paying attention to some of the other details that are being mentioned there. But what I found interesting with it was that, you know, he comes in with Williams and then he's like, meh, I'm out. And then switches across with Racing Point. And I was like, how, like, these teams are spending, like, millions of dollars. Like, they seem like big sort of things, and it just seems so kind of volatile to, like, just, you know, move around so frivolously.
Yeah, absolutely. It's real big boy money. Like, you have to, we're talking, like, you know, Lawrence Stroll's businesses are worth in the billions. Like, I don't know how you support a team that is essentially going to drain $300 million a year unless you have a business that is making stupid money.
Totally.
Yeah. It's incredible. It's the only glimpse, I think, you know, I would ever get into that world.
Yeah. Who knows, Alex? Maybe in a few years, maybe we will have our own team.
I don't think it's likely for me personally, but...
You can't rule it out.
Wait, but this brings up an interesting conversation. If you and I were to start a team, what would we call it? What if we called a team Box, Box, Box?
I think that'd be very confusing, but I would be 100% up for it.
I'd be so up for it.
I'd definitely have a team called Box, Box, Box.
Box, Box, Box. Box, Box, Box.
Yeah, and they'd be like, what?
What?
What do you mean?
What do you...
Because it... But also, like, hang on, though.
Hang on.
Why would the pit wall need to shout their team name to a driver?
Look, this is a very hypothetical situation.
No, I like it.
We'd mandate it within our team that they address the drivers by the team name and not by the driver's name.
Okay, right, yeah.
So we'd have... Obviously, we'd
So these are team-wide messages mid-race.
Obviously, we'd steal Yuki Tsunoda because...
Of course.
Of course. This is our fantasy F1 team now.
Yeah.
Yuki Tsunoda, George Russell, team name Box, Box, Box.
I love it. You just made the call without even asking me about...
Well, I mean, are you on board for this?
You know how much I'm on board I am for Tsunoda.
Exactly.
You know. But the second seat, you very, very quickly given that to George Russell.
Well, actually, he'd take first seat.
Well, see, this is what I mean. This is like... I feel like we've gone into this together. We've started up a team... And you've already just steamrolled me for the drivers.
Look,
how am I going to have this conversation with Tsunoda, who I've already promised first seat to, that he's now going to be second seat?
All right. This is an awkward conversation. You know what? We'll make them race for it. We'll start a second team.
Okay. I think that's the most logical thing here.
Yeah.
Is that we'll need to start a second team.
Yep.
And then so we'll have our feeder team.
Yep.
They can race in that.
Yep.
We'll run the first team without any drivers. We'll just run it as a phantom team to begin with.
It's so like a Tesla autopilot team. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying suddenly we've got the funds to do autopilot F1 racing, but I mean it's like a team that we just don't enter in. Like, we're in the races, but we're not entering.
Okay.
It's dangling the carrot for the feeder team.
Yeah, okay.
So, hey, there's this team here.
Yep. What do you think?
What do you think?
Okay, so let's say... Box, Box, Box. Is that the feeder team or is that the main team?
I think it depends how much we want to challenge.
Because I want to know what is the feeder team to Box, Box, Box called? Is it, you know, Box Rosso? Or is it...
I just love Box... It's just Box Rosso. I mean, it could be. It could be Box Rosso. We could have Box, Box, Box and Box Rosso.
Box, Box, Box and Box Rosso.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm down with that. I'm totally down with that.
Yep. Cool. So, I'm into it.
So Box Rosso.
Box Rosso.
So realistically, we're starting with the feeder team.
Yep.
Because we don't want to give drivers a big head. We want to get that healthy competition.
Yeah. We don't want them to, you know, we don't want to overwhelm them too early.
No. And we don't want to have like we saw with Red Bull. When you had Verstappen and Ricciardo.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were just like, it seemed like that was very, very toxic and overly competitive there. And they couldn't sort it out.
Yeah.
And so obviously Ricciardo has to leave.
Absolutely.
You
don't want a Pierre Gasly situation where you have to knock him back down.
No, totally.
Back to Box Rosso.
Exactly. You don't want to send him back to Box Rosso. So,
no, don't send me back to Box Rosso. No. I like it in Box, Box, Box.
Please don't send me back to Box Rosso.
Please don't.
I'll go anything. I'll go to Williams instead of Box Rosso. Okay. Why are we talking down our team? Our feeder team is good. Like, we should actually... No. Box Rosso is still a privilege.
Okay.
Box Rosso is still a privilege.
It's a privilege to... But once you've seen Box, 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 Box Rosso is nothing.
Valid. But then I think what we need to do then is have a feeder team to Box Rosso. Because we're preserving the Box Rosso name.
So what's the feeder team to Box Rosso called? Alpha Boxy.
Alpha. I feel like there's going to be some like legal suits coming over there. They're like, you're just stealing half of our name.
You can't.
And adding Box in there.
Yep.
And you guys cannot take three teams out of 10.
No, I don't agree. I think we came up with all these names on our own.
Yeah.
Independently. No,
that's fair. Okay. So just a quick recap here, because this is important.
Yep.
You know, people always say it's important in life to have goals.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
I agree.
Our goals, team one is Box, Box, Box.
Yep.
That's kind of like you're competing with like your Mercedes or Ferrari.
That's, I want team principal Toto Box right up there at Box, Box, Box.
Who's Toto Box?
Toto Box.
So wait, do people need to rename themselves to join the team?
Yeah, they have to take on the surname Box.
I just feel, look, I like it. I like it. I feel like there could be criticisms throwing that we're a bit too box-centric at this organization.
Look, I think you just need to get on board and just own it.
Okay, really. No, I've been strong-armed out of that decision. Yep. That's fine. I'll accept that.
Look, it's if you have like, maybe we'll consider like a middle name, you know, if you have strong, like we don't want to like rob anyone of their identity, but we really feel strongly about...
You're blatantly talking about robbing people of their identity.
Well, you know, are they a team player or not?
Well, I mean, look, no fair. It's fair.
I mean, it's
a fair point. I just think it's starting to become a bit of a dictatorship in the Box, Box, Box ecosystem.
I mean,
and I figured like, you know, we're a new team. We need to be inviting maybe in some way.
Well, we're actually three new teams.
Well, we're three new teams.
But
okay. Look, Box, Box, Box. How about, okay, you can run Box, Box, Box
mm-hmm.
as a dictatorship.
Sure.
You can have anything, you know, that's how it operates there.
I don't want to call it like a dictatorship's a strong word though.
Well, you just said it's like you have to change your name. You have to do this. Like, I'm just worried of where this ends.
Hmm.
Like, it's a slippery slope that before the team's even started, you put in some pretty strong demands of what it takes to be that team.
Well, as you go up the tiers from the feeder of the feeder team, the demands would get stronger. I think that's reasonable.
You know, that's reasonable.
That's reasonable. Like, you would have to show more commitment to the Box, Box, Box brand the further you go up.
No, that's okay. Chain. No, that's true. That's fair. I agree with that. So, look, I'm happy for this. You can be the team principal. You should be the team principal.
I don't want to be the team principal.
Why?
It's not for me. It should go to someone established. Someone who knows what they're doing. Someone. Okay,
that's fine.
I, you know, don't you think?
Like a little bit.
Okay.
But also, I mean.
I think we're on a tangent here at this point. Let's bring it back to the teams.
Okay, let's bring it back to the teams.
We've got
Box, Box, Box.
We've got Box, Box, Box. What was it?
Do you mean the actual teams?
Yeah. The Box.
Or the Box portfolio of teams.
The Box portfolio.
Okay, so we got Box, Box, Box. I think, look.
BX.ASX.
Is it on the stock market?
Yeah, it's a publicly listed Australian company.
Great. And I think, look, we can dive into this in future weeks. I think we could.
Wonderful.
We could do. But just to clarify, we got Box, 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 Box Rosso.
Box Rosso.
And Alpha Boxy.
Alpha Boxy. My personal favorite.
My personal least favorite. So I'm very interested in Box Rosso. Alpha Boxy, I don't have much time for, to be honest. So just need to know most of my attention will be going to Box Rosso.
Okay.
Whatever. But we can keep exploring this
mm.
And keep fleshing out this sort of fantasy situation.
Yeah.
And then we can manifest it into reality in a few years.
Yeah, I think we'll get there.
Yeah, I think we'll get there.
Just need a few $1 billion.
Yeah, well, you know.
And a box company.
I mean, the box companies, that's the easy part there.
That is actually potentially... You threw
both of those in there as if like... they were the two main hurdles.
Yep.
I was like, we can achieve number two pretty easily.
We could make a box company.
Yeah, number one, more challenging.
A little bit.
More challenging. Okay, so yes, yeah, back to the teams that are currently in existence or were in existence.
Yes.
I thought, it was very interesting to see the Red Bull and Renault. And I loved watching that that sort of play out.
Yeah.
And it's a little... I couldn't believe the remarks made at press conferences when they're sitting next to each other.
The abitable.
Yeah, when you have Cyril and Christian just sitting there and they're just firing back at each other. I'm just like, this is ridiculous.
It feels tense.
It felt really, really tense.
It felt awkward to watch.
Yeah, but then I was so happy when Cyril bit back, and I think they made the comment about, like, now you've got no engine and no driver. And then Christian just kind of smiled, but it wasn't like a confident smile. It was just like, oh.
It's like, oh, we're fucked as well. Yeah. We're just taking each other out.
Totally.
Yeah.
So that was really great to see. I'm very sad to hear, though, that Cyril's no longer...
Cyril's no longer with the sport.
It sounded like we were going to say that Cyril's passed away, but he hasn't.
No, he hasn't passed away.
He's left. Out there.
He's left. Just left. It seems like... The thing is, wasn't there news that he was... That he was 100% on board for this year, and then suddenly he's just gone. Like, was there a contract negotiation that broke down? I don't know,
Alex. For me, this is in like spoiler territory, which is fine to mention. But
I mean, this is spoiler territory. I didn't know that was happening.
I'm still caught in 2019
because of Drive to Survive season 3 is not going to have the departure of Cyril Abitbol in it.
That's right. He'll still be in it, won't he?
He'll still be in it.
Yeah.
So, unless they've added on something at the end there, but. Like, you know, that only just happened the last month.
Totally. Yep. So he's moved on. He was a big reason I was liking Renault.
Yeah.
I didn't really like Renault apart from that.
Yep.
Not massively.
Yep.
Actually, to be honest, though, when Ricciardo first was introduced, I think episode one, maybe, I was like, I'm not a fan of this guy.
You didn't like him?
I didn't like him. I don't know exactly what it was.
What rubbed you?
Maybe it was just a bit brash, kind of seemed like maybe really cocky.
Sure.
Just a bit too arrogant. I think, that sort of... But then it sort of... he grew on me. He definitely grew on me.
Yeah.
And then I was like, you know what? I actually don't mind him. And then I definitely sided with him in the him Verstappen thing. Because I appreciate Verstappen has a lot of skill.
He's
a very good driver.
You know, obviously there's some teams, especially when you get to the front of the pack, you know, those teams are not... trying to advertise that they have a number one and a number two seat, but you can kind of look at the teams and go, oh yeah, you know, you can even vibe out who Red Bull is putting their effort towards to be the number one seat.
Totally.
And it was Max.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then maybe you look at Ricciardo and you're like, okay, he's a bit of an underdog now. Maybe that's why I got drawn to him.
A little bit, yeah.
That was like, he seemed so cocky at the start, but then he came and then it was like, hang on, he's actually it seems like he's the least preferred one here.
Yeah.
And then that became more interesting.
He's so determined as well to get that world championship title. It's going to be interesting to see him this year. I mean, you know, he's racing for McLaren this year.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's going to be really interesting because that could be a dark horse where, you know, with the rule changes and, you know, the way McLaren has been improving year on year. And now that they've got Ricciardo, it could be this, you know, holy trinity of effectiveness for the sport, for their performance. But
totally. And like that would be fun. Like at this point now I want to see him do well. I want to see him challenge.
I'd love to see that.
And I don't feel like an affinity to him because he is also Australian. It's not that.
I definitely don't. No.
And I think that might have almost been off-putting at the start because I was kind of like, oh, it was almost like it was portrayed as real, like, yeah, Aussie dude larrikin sort of doesn't really care. But then as it got into it a bit, it seemed like, no, he's actually not so much a larrikin, but it's a part of his personality.
Yeah.
But he's also very, very serious and very committed, and very driven, which obviously everyone has to be to get to that level of any sport.
Absolutely. But yeah, he is. He's, you know, you can tell how hard all the drivers work, but yeah, him in particular, he does.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. So I'm excited to see what happens with him, where he goes.
Yeah.
I think from that, like, there weren't too many other teams that really stood out massively across the seasons. Like, you know,
what did you? To me, my issue with Renault, it's such a vain thing to poke at, but I just found the whole branding and the livery the most boring of all the teams. Just the just the stark yellow. Not a fan.
Not a fan?
Not a fan at all.
I try to think. I didn't mind the yellow.
Okay.
I actually found Williams to be pathetically branded.
A bit. Just a bit faceless.
Delivery there was just yuck.
Yep. yucky.
Yuck. No, I looked at that. I'm like, as a, you know, from a branding perspective, not interested.
Yep.
I guess because maybe because the yellow Renault stood out so much, I was like, okay, I'm on board with that.
Mm-hmm.
I felt McLaren looked a bit in as well.
Yep.
And then we didn't see too much of teams like, well, I guess there was a little bit of Toro Rosso, but not really.
Yeah.
Not really too much.
Not in season one, right?
Yeah.
But season two, I can't remember. It's been a while since I've watched.
I think a little bit. The only thing really was like the Gasly and Albon.
Yeah, okay, sure.
Sort of storyline.
Yeah.
That came through. But apart from that, not too much.
Yep.
And then apart from, yeah, I'm struggling to think. Like Racing Point, didn't really, like there wasn't really anything there. Apart from like the Lawrence.
You don't like the pink?
No. Oh, sorry. If design perspective, like I love that there's a pink team that just has pink.
I actually
that was
like
great.
It.
That was great.
Yeah.
I just mean in terms of like everything else around the team, they didn't seem to spend too much time there.
No, there wasn't a lot of time spent on them. For yeah. Sure.
So it's like, I think the show very much almost tries to get you on board. It definitely tries to get you on board with Haas.
Definitely.
The show wants you to like Haas.
Yeah. I think Haas was definitely the most all access they got that season for sure.
And then, yeah, and then because I think in season two, suddenly Ferrari and Mercedes, it seems like they're kind of like, oh, okay, fine. Fine if we have to get a bit more involved.
Yeah.
Fine, you can be at one race. Put your cameras at one. I think they own, I think for Ferrari anyway, it was like one, Netflix got access to one pit.
It was one. And then there's the, you've heard about the curse, right?
The Netflix curse.
The Netflix curse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where, just for context, if a Netflix camera crew is in your pit, that you're gonna have a bad race. Basically, that's the fear.
I say as well, like it's funny that it's painted as a curse when realistically, it's like I understand that just without any sort of supernatural, like you know, slant to it, because it's like you have a camera crew running around your pit.
Yeah.
Of course they're going to get in the way.
Of course they're going to get... Well, I'm sure they do their best to not get in the way, but...
But they're going to get in the way.
Everyone acts differently in front of a camera. I'm sure it influences behaviors of everyone in that vicinity at the time.
Oh, totally. You know? But even like, if you're just in a pit and like, the pits aren't huge.
Yeah.
So if you're standing there, if you're used to like running around doing that and suddenly there is... Because there are a lot of people in a pit anyway.
Yes.
And if you're used to just being able to go, oh, I need to run over there now. And there's a camera crew in the way. That's going to get in the way. Oh, I need to run there now. I don't know why everyone in the pit is running in my mind here, but people are running in pits.
There's a sense of urgency.
For the sake of the argument,
sure they're running.
There's a lot of emergency.
Yeah.
They're running around the pits.
Yes.
And I'm sure like the crew's going to get in the way.
Hmm.
So I can also see why teams wouldn't really want them in there. But from a larger branding perspective, the whole sport and everything overall, I think it does make sense for the teams to go, hey, we need to be a part of the show.
Yeah.
We should allow some access to get a whole new generation of F1 fans involved.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I think they're taking that more seriously more and more now because they've seen how much the show has exploded.
Totally.
Yeah.
And like, I guess in terms of Mercedes, like probably my favorite Mercedes moment from the shows was when they had the celebration. I think it was the 50 years or the...
Oh, where they're all wearing
They're all wearing German hats. Like, interesting. And I was just like... I always couldn't believe it if that was the thing or whether that was them just going like, oh, yes, we'll have a bit of fun today. Let's wear our old-fashioned hats. Like
Some German fun,
German hats. It was just like, what? Is that what they're actually doing? And then I'm pretty sure like they just were wearing them throughout the race.
Yeah. Well, not the drivers.
Obviously. No, not the drivers. Not the drivers but like, I remember seeing Toto Wolff standing there with his hat on. And because they did really badly that race.
And it looked really funny.
And it just looks so funny that he's standing there
dressed so ridiculous.
Looking so salty about how the race has gone. And I think he's got a hat on. He might have even had suspenders.
Yep.
And like a big pet. And it's just so funny seeing this team that has just been so dominant.
Yeah.
And like so much better than everyone else because of all their money to then see them going, you know what? We're going to have fun hat day.
Fun hat.
And then...
Fun dress up day.
Fun dress up day.
And we're going to fuck it.
And then they're just going to completely fuck the race. And seeing people... Like, it's always funny seeing people in dress ups.
And Netflix is here costumes. To get it all on camera.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And you see... You went out, like, it's funny when you see that. When people try and have a bit of fun. Lighten the mood a bit. And then it just goes all pear-shaped.
Yeah.
Fuck, that was... That's cool. What I really liked about... That was my favorite Mercedes moment.
Yep. Yep.
For that. So, yeah.
You know my favorite moment from the whole show so far. It's the Magnussen Romain Grosjean fight with Gunther.
You're going to have to trigger me.
Where Kevin smashes his door.
Oh!
And then he says...
That's right.
He does not fuck smash my door.
Yeah. That's right. Oh, I remember that now. Yes. Yeah, he doesn't fuck smash my door.
He doesn't fuck smash my door.
And I'm like, I remember saying that. And I'm like, what does that even mean? But it was so great.
It's so good.
Oh, yeah. No, now it's all coming back now. Yeah, that was intense.
Yeah. That's, a lot of emotion on display.
Yeah.
It's cool, though. It's cool to see that. It makes the sport so much more interesting when... And look, there's obviously... Not everyone's going to agree with me on this, but I find the sport so much more interesting when I get to know the personality of the drivers and what's going on behind the scenes.
Totally.
I don't want to just see cars going around on a track all the time. It's, you know, as exciting and amazing as that part of the sport is, it's so much more rich just to see every part of it and, you know, everyone behind the scenes as well. Yeah.
Well, and I think there's so much more that you can get involved with on a regular basis.
Definitely. So
if it's a race that goes for a couple of hours, and even if you're watching it on TV, which I haven't done yet, which I'm looking forward to doing at the end of March for the first one. But, you know, the camera's going to be cutting around, showing a bunch of different things. It's hard to really, you know, you can get sucked in if something happens in the race and it becomes an interesting race, depending on, you know... what's happening and if a team isn't just completely out in front and dominating and that sort of thing. But I think, yeah, showing, putting a personality on the teams, putting a personality on all the drivers, all the team principals, it really gets you a lot more involved because now if you watch a race, you kind of know who's behind it. You know a bit more about their personalities, you know, all that sort of thing.
Yep.
Like I find that stuff's all, you know, it's just incredible to sort of like get a connection.
Well, speaking of strong personalities, who are you looking forward to following this year?
Okay, so I think you probably know that answer because...
I know that answer.
My boy.
Your boy.
My boy.
Yuki Tsunoda. Yuki Tsunoda, yep.
Like, I mean, the rise he's had.
Yeah.
Going, and I'm pretty sure it was like F4, F3, F2, F1.
Did you catch up on any of the F2 performance last year?
No, I didn't.
Okay. It's worth looking at.
So you can say, why is he a boy? Like, I don't really know. But I love that he's, I just love that he's, you know, he's young. He's coming up through, you know, he's had like a very quick rise.
Yeah.
How
old is he? I've never looked up how old he is.
Yeah. When I say he's young, I just assume he's young. He looks very young.
Well, he looks so young. Like, did you see the photo of him with Pierre Gasly?
Yeah, and that is a beautiful photo.
Because it's amazing.
And they're in high fashion.
I feel so bad because all the comments are just like, he looks like a child. And I'm like, well, no shit, because he's because he's so talented that he's risen up so quickly. Born May 11, 2000. So, yeah, he's 20.
So he's 20.
He's 20.
Great.
He's just baby face for 20.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
I think I love as well that he just seems very, like, you know, sort of very softly spoken.
Yeah.
Humble. Very humble.
I think so.
Very humble.
Or shy. It's, yeah.
Yeah, shy. Like, he's not like, what's the guy that you are not a fan of who's coming in?
Oh.
The guy's a bad dude.
Mazepin. Yeah, but everyone fucking hates Mazepin.
Like, he seems like the opposite of Tsunoda.
Yeah. I think Mazepin is almost the opposite of every other driver in the sport right now. But, okay. But yes, it's...
He's the bad boy in the sport, right?
He's not, no, but like bad boy implies that there's something still attractive about the bad boys into him.
Valid point.
Just for context, if no one knows, there's a new driver coming into the team, into the sport this year with Haas, Nikita Mazepin. There's a very long story behind this, but the short is he filmed himself assaulting a woman on camera and to essentially no consequence, which any other sport in the world, you know, if the, of course there would have been consequence, but because Haas,
definitely,
you know, his, you know, his father is pumping so much money into Haas F1 that there's not much that he can do. I mean, there's a lot that they could do. They've chosen not to do anything.
Yeah, they could do a lot more.
Yeah.
Which is also kind of sad that it's with Haas.
I know, and especially with Schumacher this year as well.
So he's with Haas too?
Yes. So it's Schumacher and Mazepin. So in my head, I'm like, you know, one driver is of F1 royalty. One of the nicest drivers of all time as well. Like Schumacher is just has a very clean record. And then you've got Mazepin, who's just made the absolute worst name for himself already, through his behavior. It's going to be interesting to watch that team.
Yeah, I think, and that's interesting, and it's interesting in a weird way because it's like it's interesting definitely with Schumacher.
Yeah.
But then Mazepin, because he's such an asshole, and like he does stuff which is just not on.
Yeah.
It's like you don't even really want to be interested in it in a sense. Like.
Yeah, you don't.
You kind of would prefer if he was just kicked out.
Absolutely. The only reason I'll be rooting in any way for Haas this year is just to see Schumacher, you know, put his name on the sport in a positive way.
Totally.
I'm not interested in seeing Mazepin race, but screw that guy. Fuck that guy.
So Schumacher. So I guess, look, would they be kind of like your the people you're keeping an eye on too? Tsunoda and Schumacher?
For me, it's Tsunoda, Schumacher, George Russell, I think.
Oh, George Russell, of course.
Yeah. And I'm interested, actually, you know what? I'm interested to see how Carlos Sainz does in Ferrari.
Yeah.
I really like Charles Leclerc as well. And, you know, Lando Norris. How could you not love that guy?
I'm trying to remember who Lando Norris is.
He's the young streamer, like Twitch streamer. That plays it doesn't help. I'll send some videos over.
But okay, he's great.
Very, very charming, very funny, young kid. They spent a lot of their time last year during COVID, streaming. Who was it? It was George Russell, Jean Leclerc, Lando Norris, and Alex Albon, I think. And they do a lot of Twitch streaming races, and it was just very funny, very like much watching four friends just, you know, have a good time with each other.
Look, I guess overall there's a lot of things to look forward to.
Yep.
For this coming season. I'm really looking forward to season 3 of Drive to Survive in a few weeks. And then after that, the first GP of the year, March 28th, I believe.
Coming up.
Bahrain, March 28th.
March 28th, Bahrain. Yep.
Cool. Yeah, great. So I think, you know, in the coming weeks, we'll explore a few more things before the season starts.
Yep.
We'll catch you then.
Wonderful. Catch you then.